Welcome to Women in the Middle Entrepreneurs, the podcast that gives you an unfiltered behind-the-scenes look at what it's really like being a woman in the middle who's over 50 and following her entrepreneurial dreams. Grab a superhero cape, girlfriend, because you deserve one. I'm your host, Master Certified Life Coach and Midlife Mentor, Susie Rosenstein, and I am excited to inspire you with interviews that feature all of this midlife amazingness. Let's go. Hey there, welcome back to the show. We have a really exciting interview ahead of us about experiencing burnout and overcoming it with a new plan and a new business. Today, you'll be meeting Dr. Sherelle Edwards, a woman in the middle entrepreneur who exercises business and balance while serving as a functional healthcare practitioner to individuals addressing hypertension and diabetes. Welcome to the show, Sherelle. That was a mouthful for me. So impressive. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me today. I appreciate you allowing your space.
Amazing. Well, I know we're going to have a great conversation about your midlife entrepreneur story. We're going to be talking about your business, what's going really well, and also what midlife issues might be providing little hiccups or making it a little bit more difficult in, to some degree in your business or your life as a business owner. So let's start off with you talking about how old you are, how long you've been an entrepreneur, and what your entrepreneurial journey was like, and you know what you do. Let's hear all about it. Take it away.
Oh, wow. Well, at the current stage of the ripe age of age 52, I am currently a functional healthcare practitioner. And just as the intro stated, I kind of just help individuals find out the root cause of their chronic illnesses. And my specialty happens to be hypertension and diabetes. After a sick bout of my own during the pandemic season, I really got serious about my own health. And then the questions and answers out there that other people had that were not being answered because everybody was scrambling to live, basically. And so it just really ignited that fire to go back to an old goal and an old dream. And I was already enrolled in the doctoral program for healthcare anyway, so I kind of switched gears in some ways and just kind of, you know, I was like, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is the road I'm going to take. And it is the road less traveled for somebody in their early 50s because we're already dealing with a lot of other things. Our own physical challenges, our own, you know, psychological challenges. And you know, you get to that stage where you laugh at yourself, all the mistakes that you're going to make and all the, you know, the small nuances. So it just was definitely a transitional period, but that's where it brought me to. And I'm glad I'm here. I love seeing people evolve and get to a place of wellness. And that is such a rewarding thing. That has nothing to do with money. That has nothing to do with status. That is just watching somebody get to a place where they decided they want to live and they want to live at the highest standard that's possible.
Oh, that is so good. And, you know, you mentioned the pandemic. You're right. Like things were just so weird during that phase.
Yeah.
And it was some days you just wanted to just crawl into a bed and hide because it was so scary at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Now, you did mention that you did hit some burnout. I think that was before the pandemic, right? So what was that like for you to deal with all that?
Absolutely. Well, back in 2005, I got this bold streak in me. I took off. I left my 9-to-5 job. I gave them a 30 days notice and I hiked myself right on out of the working world, the corporate America, right into self-employment. I became a contractor for my state's healthcare organization. And I started that business. And what happened in that envelope, this design always had this love for business. I've always had the desire to build businesses that serve people. So that's what happened. I started on this journey. And probably a couple of years into that journey, the 2005, by 2008, I started a trucking company. Well, as we know, the trucking industry is a male-dominated industry. And it has its ups and downs and ebbs and flows. And it is a tall learning curve for a female into that industry. However, I did it. I took the bull by the horns. I jumped right in and I learned so much. And I learned and I also earned quite a bit of money. So I got to this. Here I am, 2008, all the way until by 2013. Things looked a little different because I'm raising a set of twins. They have their own schedule and I'm working two schedules. So that's four schedules I'm working led me straight into burnout, straight into by January 2013, I was exhausted. I was operating many times on 2 and 3 hours of sleep. Because what people don't realize in that industry is when you have trucks out, I might not have been driving a truck per se, but when you're responsible for freight being moved from one spot to another, you are on the line. You are responsible for that freight. So if you have a driver that breaks down, somebody has a tire blown out, a driver stops responding to you, you are up and on task until you get a handle on that or get a knowledge on what's happening with that status every couple of hours and until that freight makes it to that desired destination. So that's what was happening in my trucking. And then I have children that were student athletes. They play sports. They have practice in the afternoon. They had games once a week, both of them. I got up one day in January. I said, I can't transfer stuff out to people I knew that could handle it. I didn't give it all to one person. I shelved it out to different people, shut that phone line off, ended up having to change my phone number a couple of times because people kept finding the number, shut that phone off. And I just stopped. Cold turkey stopped everything. I did keep the other business that I started back in 2005 because that was a monthly thing. And I had an assistant that was assisting me at that time. So I was able to get her to do a lot of the front work. And all I had to do is just kind of tell her what to do. And I stepped in only when I had to. But that's what happened. I shut down. And for a year from January 2013, I didn't do anything else work related until October 2014.
And what was that step you took?
I woke up one day. I said, okay, I've rested for over a year and a half. Here it is, 18 months out. It's time for me to figure out what my next move is. So I started thinking, and I had knew even when I was in the trucking industry, I said, the next thing I'm going to do is going to be in the insurance industry. So sure enough, that's what I did. I started digging around. Got on my laptop like I always do, start researching, market research, start looking for some things to do. Went to a class to become a bail bondsman. Because I had a previous background in child abuse investigations and stuff like that. So I know the streets and I know how things like that go. So I had previous, because of my previous background, I said, okay, I checked into the bail bondsman thing. Nah, not me. Then I looked in somewhere, but I knew it was going to be in insurance. I know I'm not an insurance salesperson because I'm too direct and I'm too forward. So that was my skills. My personality didn't meet that skill set. So what I did, I kept on and I landed upon auditing. That is a balance between accounting and finances and insurance. And boom, that was my skill set because I am awesome at the desk. So, and I already knew about numbers and, budgets and stuff like that. So that's what it was. I put in an application for this company for that particular job. The lady, a very sweet lady, this just is a semblance back in end of 2014 or the times that we were dealing in, because this sweet lady called me. People don't call you anymore when you don't get a job. You get an email or a text and that's it. You don't get any human interaction for too much anything anymore. But when I put in for that job, this lady, she said, you have some really impressive skill set. It's not enough for this particular job. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you this website link for this course, and I'm going to give you a code to the course. The course costs more than the average for outsiders, she said, but I'm going to give you a code, and that's going to take off money. So the course ended up somewhere between $20-$25. I did. I got online, paid for the course. Made it through the course. It took me through about 3 weeks because I was so slow. I was like, wow, I haven't been on a full internet course in God knows when. So it took me about 3 weeks, but I said that I tugged it out. I even had, during that time was the ending of hurricane time. We had a hurricane. The front of my house got hit by a tree. My internet was out. Yes, I'm in the middle of this course doing this and my end. So, I mean, that was no big deal with me and the kids. I had insurance and I had money in the bank. So we temporarily relocated, but I had to find somewhere stable during the day to work on this course. So a friend of mine, an acquaintance at the time, I said, and I told her what I was going through. She said, hey, I'm not at the house during the day. Come by my house. I'll let you in. You can use the computer all day until 4 o'clock. That was perfect. Because at 4 o'clock, I needed to be shutting down to go on one of those other to pick up those twins from all those athletic activities and all that great stuff. So that worked out fine. I finished up the last week and a half at her home, in her home office, and got that course done, printed me a certificate, and started applying. Or sure enough, by the time I got the course completed, that particular company that I got the training from did not have a position, but some other companies did. So I started getting interviews, and it was less than 30 days. I started, what it is contract work. So it's dependent on whatever they have in your area. So I did. I picked up one or two here, there, but wasn't a whole lot. And then I picked up a few more. And then before you know it, I was locked into this company in, I want to say Pennsylvania and Virginia. And they had tons of floor to work and very few people to work it. Ideal. So I became this full-on 1099 contractor working these insurance audits, going out meeting businesses in my area. And that was just, it for me, it was so joyful because one, it gave me an opportunity to learn about one of my favorite things, new businesses. So I learned a lot about new businesses. And then I learned some things about the insurance company, dealing with underwriters and how we're commercially insured and what all factors play into the commercial insurance industry. So I learned a whole lot and now I'm very thankful. And I did that up until last year while I was finishing up the doctoral program to become now Dr. Edward.
Okay. You have to see my face. Like, I know as a listener to the podcast, you can't see my face, but Sherelle's just telling her story and my jaw's dropped. I'm laughing. I'm giggling. I'm proud. I'm impressed. I have all the emotions because you really did not have an easy path. Like there were so many opportunities for you to say, that's too hard. I'm not doing that, you know, but you kept going. So the trucking business sounded a bit crazy and that put you over the line, you know, in terms of exhaustion and juggling and everything. But then you picked insurance, the field of insurance, something completely new. Mm-hmm. The little bit of luck was that woman who gave you a suggestion that changed the trajectory of that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But you could start to see with each step, you're learning more about what you really like and what you're really good at. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing I don't understand is going and doing a PhD in healthcare after all of insurance and trucking, like all that stuff. That seems like quite a pivot. And going back to school at our age is not so easy. So tell me about that decision a little bit more. I need to know. I must know.
The healthcare, actually, that was the first business I left my 9-to-5 for. I was a contractor for our state's healthcare agency. I was running cost plan budgets for service programs. So that was healthcare. That was in the healthcare industry. So that's where the healthcare stuff, I mean, really does. Even prior to that, I was a training coordinator. I helped to manage grant funds that the company in. And what we did was take those funds and place people into medical care training, nurses, sonogrammers, all kinds of stuff, phlebotomists, those type things. They call them allied health medical professionals. That's what I did. I ran that training program, so that's where it started. It was incremental the whole time. If you really look back at it, I was like, wow, that started from that seed back in early 2000. And then moved on and I left my job for healthcare again. So then even in my love for businesses, you know, I still came into contact with healthcare again, even in auditing. I audited several physicians' office. So I still kept running into healthcare. And so I knew I had that knack. I understood the medical terminology and a lot of things. I understood, you know, some things. So it just kept lingering on. So eventually, and this was pre-COVID-19, the pandemic, I said, I always had this personal goal to go back to school and complete my doctoral degree. I said, I don't know what it's going to be in. I don't know. I don't need it. I've already taught college. I don't even know what it's going to serve. But I'm going to go back. Then I'm going to do, you know, I'm just going to do it just because. By now, those twins were gone and that's sucking the life out of my wallet.
That's so funny because, yeah, you're right. They were running around. They're in sports. That's expensive to keep.
Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah.
Wow. So they had in college when they left home in 2016 for college, they were all busy. They had been in the training college at the community when they left home, they had both had AA degrees. So just to complete a full 4-year degree, I said, look, I'm going to be on the hook for the next two years and a quarter. After that point, if you're not done, just understand you'll be on your own. I have some goals of my own I want to accomplish. You know, I want to do, and then I need to save some money because I'm going to be an old girl that needs her own water. So that's what happened. They went to school. One decided to fit. One did finish. The other one decided he was going to do something else. He's a model now. And right. You could have saved me some money. But anyway.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Yes. So they moved on. They heard the assignment before they left home. I told them, I said, look, you're going to, you know, this is, you know, what the plan is. We went through all this. That's why I wrote all these letters and went through all this chaos to, you know, scholarships and all this stuff. After 2.5 years, I can't do anything else. I'm going to have to check out financially. I'll still be your mom and you can still call me, but it won't be with money.
I love how clear you were, but it's so smart to think about what are your priorities? And, you know, this is really one of the things that's coming out so strongly in this podcast is like not just your interview, but in all the interviews is that we need a midlife operating system that is different than the way we operated our lives. That's before right. We were entrepreneurs, before we were over 50, something needs to change. And what you just did so beautifully was you were thinking, what do I want finally? Finally, you didn't want to have regrets. You had a lifetime goal that you wanted to do your PhD. Not everybody wants to do that. Plus, again, you've had these little hints and clues that healthcare was really important to you at some level. Even though it was trucking, even though it was insurance. And for it's just, I don't even know what the right word is for it, but to hear the story of you picking healthcare for your PhD, like to go back to school as an older woman and to really fulfill a lifetime dream of diving deep into a way that you could really make a contribution in health. I mean, that's so interesting. So, okay. And your kids have been told, they know what's happening here. They know.
Right.
They can do whatever they want, but they're off the payroll at a certain point.
Off the payroll.
That's absolutely what I call it. They're off the payroll. Yeah. Okay. So now you're out the other end of it. And then how did you, like, what was your next step? Was it entrepreneurial or did you get a JOB first?
Well, unbeknownst to myself and all of us, January 2020, I started the program. And then 3 months.
Oh, sorry. We just had a hiccup there again with the internet. So January 2020 started the program. And 3 months later, that's when everything shut down, right?
I'm sick as a dog. I end up going to the ER thinking I'm going to be a day or two, or they're going to put me inside IV meds and send me home. I am hospitalized for 5 days. I am in the middle of a doctoral program where my kids could not come. Nobody could come. The hospitals did not allow entering visits, you know, for fear of the infection and sickness and all that stuff. People were sick in the hospital, so they wasn't allowed visitors or anything. And I went in thinking, just going to be something short term. They're going to give me something and I'm going to be out of there. They did all these tests and all this stuff. Everything else was pretty fine. Nothing else. I didn't have any pre-existing conditions. Any of that stuff, but she came back and said, well, oh, by the way, you have COVID. So they started treating me, gave me antibiotics to clear my lungs. My lung wall congested and fogged up. That's what the problem was. I barely had any energy, started putting me on, you know, vitamins and stuff to build myself back up. And the delay, I know to this day, we're so overpacked. They didn't have a room. I stayed down in the ER room for about two and a half days. So I've been able to get to a room and go through the process as normal. I probably would have been out of there, like I said, about 2 or 3 days, but I was there 5 days because they were just overpacked. The medical floors were locked. They had everything locked down. Everything was locked down. So the sound of that just really rung home for me. I'm like, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Sick as a dog. So anyway. I have three adult children. I've let my children know, and they're having a hard time because they're, what do you mean we can't come see about you? What are you talking about, lady? We are coming. I said, no, they're not letting anybody in. You would probably end up sick coming up here. It's a lot of sick people in here. This hospital is overcrowded. I said, and it's just a lot going on. I say, all I need for you to do is call every day to check on me and speak with the head nurse or whoever's in charge just to find out my status. That'll let them know that family is involved and they're watching this process and that they're concerned about me. That's all I need you to do. And so they did. We talked back and forth on, you know, with texts on the phone and then whatever, but they were having a really hard time. I remember my daughter breaking down. She's like, what am I going to do? You know, nothing can happen to you. I said, look, I need you to strengthen up right now. And I need you to just hope, you know, get it together. I need you to call every day. I need you to be on top of this. So she had to pull it together. But I'm telling you, they were falling apart because they're like, what do you mean? We can't, you know, that whole process for them was just foreign. What do you mean I can't come and see about you? That just didn't connect for them. And so that was probably the most emotional part for all of us. But anyway, we got through it. I just kept my eyes closed. I learned how to meditate during that process. I had meditated before, but because I stay so busy, you get away from some small things that you learn. I learned the art of meditation again. I've heard people dying on that floor. I heard people coding out. I could see people, droves of people running past my room.
Wow.
Because I was I put myself into a meditative state and kept myself focused. I got out of there. I'm like, every time they come, I'm going to make sure I do what I need to do. I don't want any heavy food and water with lemon. And I think maybe once or twice I drank some tea a couple of times, some green tea or something, like whatever tea she could find me. And that's all I did. And I did. I got to that fifth day and they started running tests and I got out of there. And
thank
I was
God.
Like, thank God.
Yeah, thank God.
But I think that was the story I needed to cement me in this healthcare journey, this doctoral healthcare journey. That was the piece that I needed to cement that, to show me why this was important and why, you know, what purpose it had. So that's what I attribute that to. We all have to go through something to get where we're going. And that's what I attributed that story to. I attribute being hospitalized for 5 days in the fall semester. I got money on the line that, you know, if I don't finish that stuff, I don't get that money back. That, you know, that's the kind of stuff we were talking about. And, but what happened, with schoolwork, when I finally, although I was in the hospital for 5 days and got released, my doctor did not release me for 21 days. So I was 4 to 5 weeks behind in the semester when I finally got back into school. Yes. So I had to catch up. Yes. I had to catch up all of that stuff that I missed and get back on track so that I could end that semester and not only end, but then be prepared to start the upcoming January semester. So that's what happens. Through some kind of way, I was able to get that stuff done, got myself caught up. I had filed for an extension through the school because that's what they advised me. You know, you probably want to file an extension. I told them I'd been of all my absences and stuff like that. And I mean, I didn't.
Thank God that all worked out. I'm sorry, the mic is cutting out just a little bit, but you got your extensions. Somehow you finished. And then what happened?
Yeah. So imagine working through that.
I cannot. I cannot. So now you're on the other side of it. And so how would you describe your business now?
I just see life through totally different lens. We are not promised tomorrow. I get up. I do not make haste. I don't allow people to waste my time anymore. If I know you have a history of not being serious, I do not allow you my time. Or if you catch my time, it's in very small increments and pieces because I cannot get that back. So I value my time more. I do more meaningful things. I'm a closet traveler. I love to travel and go. I just can't, you know, now that I'm a single old lady, I can't, you can't tell everything you're doing, but... But yes, I'm a tourist, so I love that kind of stuff. And I'm trying to make the best of every moment that I have. I enjoy it. But I also, when I'm working with clients and I'm building that new business, that's a new business for me. I've never been a solo provider in a health practice. And so what I do now, I try to breathe life into people and just, I share that look. Sometimes I share a piece of that story and, you know, something with them resonates or connects and they get it. I said, look, if I never do anything else, if I never see you again, I wish you the best. And just, I'm going to impress upon you to take your health seriously and know that without your health, nothing else is going to happen. Nothing
yeah,
else.
Definitely. Definitely. So what would you say is the biggest surprise about being 50 and the way that some or being over 50 and the way that some of these issues like technology, like people's perception of you and your age, and maybe even your PhD, how's all that happening for you as a midlife woman?
That well, I mean, I don't hear any comments. I will say that they're kind of that way. They're not overt with it. But most of the time, there probably is that perception because I do still have young, young adult children. And I ask, and there is that perception that those of us that's older, we don't have a clue what's going on in technology and we're just slowing things down and we're in the way. And so I make it a point when I interview for things, I make it a point to ask, like if I'm hiring an assistant for one of my LLCs, and I do have three now. I have three businesses now. What I do is, well, tell me what your technological experience is. Tell me, what are you using these days? And you know, so I make them aware that I'm aware of what's going on out there. And that's kind of how I push it over. I say, hey, you know, everybody's on ChatGPT. What are you doing on ChatGPT? And they look, their eyes get big, like, oh, snap, she's on chat. I say, yeah. I said, one of my businesses has a TikTok and, you know, a couple other things. And I said, and so I make them aware that I'm there, you know, regardless of what it may seem. My age hasn't kept me from being in the know, and that I am connected with young entrepreneurs as well as people my age. So I do that in my networking. I do that in my networking purposely for that reason, to keep myself abreast and keep myself updated.
That's so great. And what about, you mentioned that sometimes you don't think you're asked to speak, or that sometimes you don't get opportunities because of this stigma around aging.
Sometimes I believe today, or not currently based, or, you know, that we're going to have this old set in stone way. But when they start to learn about my background, they say, oh, she's fluid. She's done a lot of big things. And she's, you know, and I don't, that's not what the message I'm told him, but the message that I want to impress upon him is that anything you set your mind to learn and engage in, you can do. And it doesn't have to be an age cap on it. Now that I revel, my health is my top priority. My health will allow me to continue to do different things and learn different techniques. And I'll never be that champion, that person that's going to wheel it out. But I am knowledgeable of it. And I do know how to find and use new technological resources and stay up to date with what's going on.
Yeah. So, oh, yeah, I love that. I'd love to hear you talk a little bit more, too, about the importance of balance. Now that your priorities are so clear and we know that there's no such thing as certainty, really.
No.
That's what COVID taught us all around the world, right? But tell me more about balance being part of your new clarity.
Oh, I love it. Now, any schedules, and I don't even like the word schedules anymore, because when you raise twins, anybody that's raised a set of twins know what the word schedule means. But I don't even like that word. But now my schedules are, like you say, half and half. I try to work 3 weeks out of the month, and that fourth week, no work. I'm hopefully somewhere on one of my tourism things off somewhere. Even if I'm not going anywhere and I'm just sitting around lounging doing nothing, I have learned what balance means. I respect it and I love it. I respect that word balance. We have to cut off. And we have to refill our own cup so that we can continue to give to others, because there's another way. There's just other ways to live life. And it doesn't have to take everything out of you to be successful in business, to be, you know, entrepreneur, to work your 9-to-5, corporate America job, whatever it is. Because I still applaud people that work their job for 30 years. I still applaud that. I still applaud, you know, although that's not common anymore, it's common. But I still applaud that, because it takes determination and tenacity, and it takes consistency to do those things.
It sure does. So it's so interesting to watch what happened with your career, not to watch what happened, but how you created your career. And I think one of the things you did so well was to really tune into your strengths and what you wanted, even though it was difficult for you. So even though it was really hard timing when the kids were small, You still did it, even though it was a male dominated profession, that other trucking, you still did it. And you were able to pull out gifts and strengths in each phase. And I think that's really something, because even though you were putting everybody else first and focus on being a provider and dealing with young kids and schlepping them around and all of that, you still, even though you couldn't put yourself first the way you can now, you were still able to sense and connect with what it is you actually wanted. Mm-hmm. And that's huge. Like, you weren't just doing Joe jobs to just fill time. Each job had meaning. Each job taught you something. Each job created, like, kind of prepared you for the next thing. And that's so good. And in terms of being midlife woman, it sounds like, I don't know, what would you say the biggest problem has been? Is it that people expect less from us as we're older?
I think so. I think they just think, well, she's going to fade out, or, you know, she won't be, you know, keeping up with what's current or what's going on nowadays. So they just kind of, you know, it's just kind of an unspoken rule that, you know, we'll just kind of fall back, as they say, fall back or fade away from what's going on in business. But I see so many of us, and you as well. I just like, it's wonderful what you do, this podcast, this forum, this platform, you know, that we're up to date. You have to have some, you interface all the time with technology, and you haven't shied away from it. And the clock is still turning for us, but we, you know, we get up every day, you come in here and you go at it, and your podcast and your platform is so successful. So that is a prime example of what I'm talking about, is our age has not determined, you know, our ability to continue to move forward in life and to be and to be relevant. We're relevant when things are relevant and still doing things of importance. Now, do you know how many people out here trying to do a podcast? But look at you.
You're cracking me up. First of all, thank you so much for those kind words. And one of the things that I've struggled with has been technology, but more than the actual technology, it's my horrible mindset about my ability. And I have worked so hard to be more confident that I can figure things out. And it's made a huge difference. Like, when I first started the podcast, if I would turn on the recording software, and sometimes the settings change when you don't change them. So I turn it on and the mic's not working. Right. I would start to shake and sweat because I had a deadline for myself, or if I was teaching something and people are showing up and they're waiting on the call and I've got something that's not working, I would literally shake and sweat. And it's to the point now where that never happens anymore, because I have a new way to think about it. That's and right. It's like, I never imagined I'd be doing anything technology based at 60. I never imagined, but it's like, I think I am learning to become a woman who manages the technology in her business. So I don't need to know how to use every app, but I know how to use Google. I know how to get help. Mm-hmm. I know enough to have a backup plan. Like, one time I remembered I was doing something, and there was a whole Facebook, Instagram outage in the whole day. And I was relying on that app to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I have an email. I could still communicate with everybody, even though all of this stuff went down. So thank you for acknowledging that. But you're right, we are relevant. And the thing I've really come to appreciate, and I'm sure you have too, is that we're not just older, we're wiser. And we have much experience. So it doesn't matter how tech savvy somebody is who's 28. They could be amazing and know more than I do about tech, but they don't have the experience. Mm-hmm. And the experience that we have is really valuable at this age. So
absolutely.
Thank you for pointing that out about tech, but it's just so funny because I really did struggle with it. But
oh yeah, but you see, that's the thing. You didn't come in as the expert, but you didn't run away from the challenge. You still interface with it every day. And now, like you said, the sweats are no more. But you didn't, you let that, your fortitude, what I heard was your fortitude and your determination. You kept knocking on the door until it just came. And like, look, she's going to stay here. She's going to be dabbling with this. You found you some help and you proceeded on. And that's what I love. That's the message that so many people could learn from. It doesn't matter whether you're 10 or 100. The fortitude, as long as you have breath and you have the fortitude and determination to get up and do what it is that you've been called to do. So that's what I heard.
Oh, yeah. That's so true.
For everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Rochelle. Well, that is it. Amazing. So great to have you on, Sherelle. Seriously, doctor. Thank you so much for taking the time from your day to share all this. And tell us, what is the best way that people can get a hold of you?
Oh, there are so many of those doors. Probably the first one that comes to mind is my Instagram, and it's at Dr. She, S-H-E, Serves. So that's Instagram. I also have my own site where I do get appointments through, and that's www.herecomesdrdr.com, and that's my website. I do have a Facebook page, and it's All One Life, All One Life, which is three separate words, but it's All One Life. That's the name of my LLC that I manage the healthcare business through, and it's All One Life. So there is a Facebook page for All One Life.
That's great.
There are a few other things.
That's amazing. So I really love what you're doing, and I really love your story. It really is a story of perseverance and strength. And the thing I like so much is that you were able to connect with what you really wanted at each phase, and it led you where you are now, which is satisfying one of your lifelong goals of completing your PhD, even with the pandemic, even with you getting so sick in the pandemic, even with the twins who were good at sports, like even with all of it, it's so good. So thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. That is it for now. If you're listening and loving what you hear, please like and subscribe. Reviews are great too and much appreciated. And if you're a woman in the middle who's 50 or over and an entrepreneur and would like to also come on the show, please go to www.midlifeinterviews.com and fill out an application. We'd love to have you on to share your story. Thanks so much for listening. It's never too late for you to put yourself on your agenda. I'm Susie Rosenstein, and I'll talk to you again soon. Now, real quick before we say goodbye, if you are connecting with this show, I'd love to invite you to a happiness breakthrough coaching session. It's my laser-focused coaching call that will help you get clear about what's getting in your way as a woman in the middle entrepreneur and confident about your next steps to more happiness in your next chapter. Head over to www.nextchapterbreakthrough.com. Talk to you soon.